The weather in Central Ohio just got better, and so should your loan rate. CME Federal Credit Union wants to try to beat your current loan rate by 2% on autos and toys. Plus, enjoy no payments for 90 days on car loans and no payments for 60 days on motorcycles, boats, and more. With car rates as low as 4.9% APR and toy rates starting at 6.5% APR, it's the perfect time to save. Apply today at cmefcu.org. Terms apply. Minimum floor rates 4.99% APR car, 6.5% APR other vehicles. Federally insured by NCUA.
It's game day, and this is the home of Scottish football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good afternoon and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we get back to focusing solely on the domestic game after the end of the European campaigns. Celtic might have shipped five in Madrid, but they scored nine in Dundee against United, who come to Glasgow this afternoon. Big wins for Aberdeen and Livingston last night, with Ross County St Mirren completing Saturday's top flight picture. And Rangers' reaction will be tested tomorrow at St Johnstone, with Motherwell also at Hearts. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight you have Gordon DL, Mark Wilson, and Hugh Keevans.
Remember the 5th of November, but it's not Guy Fawkes that Celtic have in mind. It's Liam Fawkes and his Dundee United team who will be testing Celtic for any negative reaction to that 5-goal Champions League mauling in Madrid on Wednesday night. But for Ange Postecoglou, the incentive is to beat Dundee United, go 7 points clear at the top of the Premiership table, and then that puts pressure on Rangers at St Johnstone tomorrow. A Rangers side who are now officially the worst ever Champions League group stage competitors. Not that anyone has mentioned it.
A reduced schedule today in the Premiership, Gordon, but still those games are interesting in their own right. Celtic trying to bounce back from that disappointment in the Champions League. Liam Fawkes will be looking to probably have a more defensive approach than Dundee United certainly did the last time these two teams met. And then when you look up at Dingwall, Ross County really need to kickstart their season against St Mirren. And down the divisions, plenty of interesting games. So looking forward to this afternoon.
Yeah, it's a short card, but a lot of excitement out there, Gordon. We're looking at Celtic Park. Dundee United, Ross County today, 12th and 11th, really need to get points. Will they get points? It'll be very difficult. And then I think game of the day is the Championship, first v second, Ayr United v Morton. Cracker.
You might even dip into League One for that. Falkirk against Dunfermline, 7,000-8,000 at a League One game. So there's a lot to get excited about. Already started last night, Hugh. Two fantastic games on a Friday night.
10 goals. 2 games, 10 goals. Marvin Bartley and his Libby side, 3-2 winners away at Kilmarnock, and a quite sensational game at Pittodrie in front of over 17,000 people, where there were some terrific individual performances, most notably Leighton Clarkson of Aberdeen in their 4-1 win. Big result. Jim Goodwin comes off a 4-1 defeat at Rangers and then immediately beats his next opponent by the same margin.
Yeah, Hugh Keevans has been trying to recreate that Leighton Clarkson back heel since he came in here. I'm a bit worried about him in the remainder of this afternoon.
The hush puppy just won't take it.
Ah, exactly. Look at the agility that you're looking for. Anyway, it's a big afternoon.
Just having a look at what's on Hugh's feet. You don't see them that often.
They're a size four kids.
They are all weather.
He's a sophisticated man that keeps brown comfort leather in mind. That's all you need to know. Right, we've got two big games in the Premiership. We're going to focus on a lot of Championship games as well. Of course, lots of football action to take you through, and as always on a Saturday afternoon, some other stuff gets in the way as well.
So we'll just looked at his feet. He's got white sand shoes on.
Sorry. I've not heard that expression in a while, I must admit. But anyway, I told you other stuff could get in the way. Let's at least try and stick to football and pretend that that's the priority. Celtic against Dundee United at Celtic Park. Fraser Wishart is alongside Andrew McLean.
Yeah, back to domestic action for Celtic after finishing up their Champions League campaign. And Ange Postecoglou is challenging his team to keep their level high for the final three games before the World Cup break. He was happy with a lot of their play against Real Madrid midweek, but ultimately it was a 5-1 defeat. But the last time Celtic and Dundee United met, it was an even bigger scoreline. You remember that 9-0 win at Tannadice earlier on this season. It cost Jack Ross his job. Results did pick up a wee bit under Liam Fawkes, but they have now lost their last three. And maybe a concern for Dundee United as well, though, that Celtic have scored 17 goals goals in their last four domestic matches. They'll be hoping the Hoops have a bit of a European hangover, but Ange Postecoglou has decided to refresh the team. Seven changes for them today coming into this one. Out go Juranovic, Starfelt, Taylor, Moy, Abada, Kyogo and Maida. In come Ralston, Carter Vickers, Bernabe, Turnbull, Haksabanovic, Giakoumakis and Jota. So it'll be Joe Hart in goal for them today. The back four, Anthony Ralston, Cameron Carter Vickers, Moritz Jentz and Alexandro Bernabe. The midfield three, Matt O'Reilly, David Turnbull and Rio Hatate, with Sead Haksabanovic and Jota either side of Yorgos Giakoumakis. Substitutes for Celtic today: Sigrist, Taylor, Starfelt, Kyogo, Abada, Moy, Abeldgaard, Maida and Forrest. As for Dundee United, two changes for them. Dylan Levitt drops out and Tony Watt drops out as well, despite winning his red card appeal midweek. He drops to the bench. In come Joom and Hark. So Mark Birigitte in goal. The back three, Liam Smith, Ryan Edwards and Scott McMahon. Kieran Freeman and Aziz Bech are the two wing-backs. Craig Sibbald, Arnaud Joom and Ian Hark, the three central midfielders, with Jamie McGrath supporting Stephen Fletcher up top. The substitutes, Eriksen, Graham, Niskanen, Pollitt, Middleton, Mikkelsen, Levitt, Sadat and Watt. The referee for this one at Celtic Park, David Dickinson. The VAR, Nick Walsh. And Fraser Wishart, no surprise to see Ange Postecoglou making so many changes.
No, you mentioned European hangover. There can't be an excuse for Celtic. Europe's gone and they have to focus on the domestic scene. But the seven changes, none of those players started that game. And you're looking at the Celtic team with all those changes. Is it any weaker? Probably not. You know, you've got Jota coming back and Giakoumakis. Whole host of players who have got something to prove to try and get into the starting lineup. I think the key to this match will be how both teams start. Can Celtic start as they always try to do, on the front foot, playing fast attacking football? And can Dundee United hold out and get their confidence? Because you mentioned the 9-0 game earlier on this season. Last year they came here and it was one each, and a late 1-0 victory for Celtic when Abada scored in stoppage time. So they know these players, a lot of them were around the Dundee United players. They know they can come here and compete against Celtic, but does the 9-0 defeat still sit in their minds? So the first 20-25 minutes for me will be key.
Yeah, you do wonder for the Dundee United players if they have a slow start, if Celtic start quickly, if whether, as you mentioned it, whether that 9-0 defeat is in their heads, whether that will affect them at all. It's a case of making sure that they don't concede early and see what happens from there.
Yeah, you named the team there. You know, it's five defenders, four midfield players, a couple of attacking midfield players in there, and then we'll try and get up and support Stephen Fletcher, who's got a huge role. And I think when you're coming here as Dundee United, having lost three games in a row as well, sitting second bottom of the table but only on goal difference, confidence is clearly low. And Stephen Fletcher will have a huge part to play. Experienced player, very good with his back to goal. He can take the ball in and get them up the park. They can then get Joom and McGrath and Hearts to maybe give their defence a bit of a break. But I have to say, I don't see it. I think Celtic will come here. The fresh player, Haksabanovic, a couple of weeks ago against Hibs for 45 minutes was sensational. Giakoumakis, fantastic striker, scores goals. There's so much talent in this Celtic team, I can see nothing other than a comfortable Celtic victory.
Well, the sun is shining here at Celtic Park. Kickoff is at 3 o'clock.
It's an interesting one, Fraser. Quite often you would look at a team that has finished bottom of their Champions League group that's lost heavily during the week and conceded five goals, and ask questions about the hangover, as you mentioned, or whether they're going to be feeling a bit fragile or feeling a bit bruised. But the rhetoric that's been used around Celtic's Champions League campaign, and I should stress, rightly or wrongly, I'm not going to argue with Hugh Evans about it again this early on a Saturday afternoon, rightly or wrongly, Ange Postecoglou seems fine with the performances. The Celtic fans seem fine with the performances, and I'd imagine the players must feel the same. So it doesn't quite feel like there's that real intense spotlight on to see how Celtic react this afternoon.
No, absolutely. And I'm in the camp of saying that Celtic have actually played pretty well. But in the end, they only got 2 points, you know, and I think they should have been challenging more for third. The two games against Shakhtar, particularly one away from home, I think was the absolute key. So I think they should be disappointed, Celtic, for not finishing at least in third place. But there's a positivity around here. Ange Postecoglou can do no wrong in the eyes of Celtic supporters, and rightly so. He's been brilliant since he's come in. A fantastic squad. He refreshes. The fans will come here week in, week out, and they are entertained to attacking football. But that can stop very quickly if they don't pick things up. Europe's gone. There's nothing to even a second stage of a Europa League or whatever else. And they have to focus on the domestic game, because it's a big week for all the teams in Scotland, particularly from at the very top. Three games in a week before a long break during the World Cup. And Celtic will want to maintain that 4-point lead. In fact, they will maybe even try and increase it if Rangers drop points. So three wins this week, and Celtic can probably go into the World Cup fairly happy. But in the end, they didn't get a win They didn't finish third where I thought they should have done as well. So I think there's got to be a wee bit of disappointment there. But the performance in general, anybody can lose 5-1 to Real Madrid. But it was the other games against Shakhtar and Leipzig, I thought, a wee bit disappointing, the results. But certainly, as you say, the fans, they're not bothered. Ange Postecoglou is quite happy with the way things are going as well, despite the disappointment. So if they can take that bit of positivity into today's game, then I think they'll win very comfortably.
I mean, you mentioned the changes, the seven changes, which sounds dramatic, but is this at a time, Fraser, where there doesn't seem to be much between Kyogo and Giakoumakis anyway? And if bringing Jota back into your starting 11, and Cameron Carter-Vickers for that matter, you know, if those are among your changes, it's maybe not quite as drastic as what seven changes can sometimes sound like.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think if you're picking your strongest team at the moment, I think Giakoumakis would possibly be the main striker. So, that's what comes of having a massive squad. And there's always chat during the week about the difference in finances between teams in the Champions League and the teams in Scotland. This just shows the strength and depth of the squad. Guys like James Forrest just scored a hat-trick here a couple of weeks ago. I was here with watching them play against Hibs. He scored a hat-trick. He can't even get a look in as well. So Haksabanovic, outstanding for 45 minutes against Hibs. He didn't start during the week as well. So it's not a weaker team. Maybe just in the full-back areas were the only two you could say maybe changed, although Bernabe played well. But Taylor, for me, has been terrific. So from that point of view, there can be no excuses, no hangover. Seven changes doesn't mean it's a weaker team. That's still a very, very strong Celtic team. So if they drop points today, I don't think there could be any excuses.
Well, it's testimony to Celtic's domestic strength. They've been found wanting on occasion in terms of Europe. As Fraser said, Shakhtar Donetsk has to be the major disappointment, home and away, unable to get a win. But Europe's gone now for Celtic and Rangers. They've both been found wanting at Champions League level. And now they're back to the narrow world of us and them. And it's all about who wins the league. So the incentive for Celtic today is to go 7 points clear and see what that does to a Rangers side who also get turned over in midweek by Ajax at Ibrox. So it's very, very simple. It's just us against them now, and Celtic need to win and put the pressure on Giovanni Van Bronckhorst.
Of course, Hugh's factually right, Mark. Europe is officially gone. It's over. You just wonder how it plays out, though. If Celtic do feel that they saw positives, then can you take that to the rest of the domestic season? Can your players become better domestically because of what they experienced in Europe, or vice versa, flip that? And maybe this applies to Rangers fans at the moment. Have you been bruised by your European campaign? So although it's over, as in you don't need to play any more games, maybe in the head or the sort of knock-on effects are not over.
Yeah, of course. Look, we've seen Champions League campaigns in the past where Celtic would have come back bruised, and it may have affected them because they were being heavily criticised after their performances. It's not the case this time for Ange Postecoglou's team. I don't think it'll bruise them one bit. I think he changes the team that much that it doesn't affect him coming back for these games either. I was saying to Daz here just when Fraser was chatting that Celtic have always got...
Sorry, you weren't listening intently to what Fraser was saying.
See, be honest with you, I have no idea what he was saying, so I wasn't listening to him either.
Oh, great. Good. Communication is key.
Celtic have always had strong squads throughout their Champions League campaigns, but I've never known a manager to rotate a squad so much and have so much trust in his squad. And look, he's right, because the quality's there, but you always have a manager that will say they'll rotate and they'll change maybe one or two in and out. Ange Postecoglou has ultimate trust in his players, and to make seven changes today, I don't think for one minute he's thinking, yeah, I've weakened my team here.
It goes hand in hand though, Gordon, doesn't it? Because it would be quite easy to trust Jota and Giakoumakis. Sometimes when you make seven changes, you're having to dig down to find guys that don't play a lot of football, but you're not really doing that here. I mean, David Turnbull hasn't started many games because he's been out injured and been down the pecking order to an extent, but you don't look at that 11 and see many kids or many untested players.
No, I think what you do is you look down and you see quality. I think if you're Dundee United arriving at Celtic Park today and you hear he's made seven changes, and then you wait for that team sheet to come in, they're not bad changes, Gordon. It's quality throughout the team. That's what he's always wanted, good squads. You're talking about the European campaign. I totally understand what Hugh says, but For some reason, Celtic have taken great confidence. Their supporters, their players, their managers even come out and said, look, if we play like that in domestic football, then we'll have no problems whatsoever. But I look at that team today, and I'm totally with Fraser at Celtic Park here. If they play to their capabilities, they'll blow Dundee United away.
So that's your team news then, Celtic, Dundee United in the east end of Glasgow. Let's go a bit further afield. Ross County, St Mirren is your other Premiership game. Dave Galloway has teams.
Thank you, Gordon. With Ross County, joint bottom of the Premiership after 13 games, manager Malky Mackay's challenging his men to thrive on predictions. They're in for a relegation battle. They've only secured two wins in the league so far this season, but Mackay insists there are positives to take from recent performances. St Mirren come to Dingwall sitting fifth, but only 3 points off third place, and boss Stephen Robinson's expecting a positive reaction following defeat at Hibs last weekend. And they have a good record against County, winning six and drawing two of their previous Premiership meetings. To the teams then, and one change for Ross County. In comes Loturi, out drops Kankola. It's Laidlaw in goals, a back four of Johnson, Baldwin, Iacoviti and Harmon. Tilson and Loturi, the sitting midfielders, with Hiwula, Danda and Edwards further forward. White, as ever, leads the attack. The subs, Eastwood, Kankola, Samuel, Watson, Olegbi, Akio, Munro and Smith. Just the one change also for St Mirren. Gallagher is in for Tate, so it's Carson in goals. A back three of Fraser, Gogic and Gallagher. The wing-backs for the Saints, Strain and Dunn, with Bacchus, Erhon and O'Hara in the middle. Ayunga and Main go up top. And the subs for the Saints, Tanzer, Shaughnessy, Flynn, Brophy, Kilty, Henderson, Grieve, Kenny and Erminski. And your match referee is John Beaton.
Now, we'd like to have more games than this in the Premiership on a Saturday, but the good thing is it means we can feature some Championship games, and what a league that is at the moment. Let's go to Firhill, Partick Thistle taking on Dundee, and David Friel is there.
Yeah, Gordon, what a league indeed. And I think this one really sums up how mad the Championship season has been so far. I think at the start of the campaign you'd have expected this to be a top of the table clash, but with two clubs almost in crisis mode going into this game, I would say Partick Thistle have four defeats in the last five league games. They've conceded 15 goals in the last four games in all competitions. That's a shocking record at any level. But Dundee haven't been faring much better. They have one win in the last five league games and start the game in sixth place, one spot below Thistle in fifth. Both are clearly struggling for wins, but as you say, it's a crazy league and they're still only 4 and 5 points off the top of the league respectively. So, you know, there's a lot at stake here today. Partick are missing key men like Kevin Holt, Scott Tiffany, Ross Docherty, Brian Graham. I was talking to one of the officials earlier on and says, you know, that injuries have really hit them hard. Ian McCall, I wouldn't say he's under pressure. He's got enough credit in the bank. But I don't think you can say the same for Gary Bower, the Dundee manager. You know, the club's fans expect an immediate return to the Premiership and they're demanding better. Dundee actually remain the bookies' favourites. Please gamble responsibly to win the title, but they need to start winning games quickly. Partick have been shipping goals, as I said, and they've actually moved to a back five following that 3-0 defeat to Raith last week. So David Mitchell's going to be in goals. Lee Hodgson, Darren Brownlee, Jack McMillan and Aaron Muirhead and Harry Milne across the back. Cole McKinnon, Kyle Turner and Stuart Bannigan in midfield, with Danny Mullen and Anton Dowds up front. It's also Partick are Sneddon, Smith, Lawless, Weston, Akinola, Fitzpatrick, Stanley, Lyon, McKenzie. As for Dundee, they have left former Thistle striker Zach Ruddon on the bench as they go for a 4-5-1 formation. Ian Lawler's in goals. Back four of Taylor French, Ryan Sweeney, Lee Ashcroft and Cammy Kerr. Paul McMillan, Jordan McGee, Joe Grayson and Luke McCown across the middle, with Josh Mulligan in a roving role behind Derek Osei. And the subs for Dundee are legends Jakubiak, Byrne, Robinson, Ruddon, Williamson, Sheridan, Anderson and Cameron. And the referee at Firhill is Craig Napier.
Yes, looking forward to that one. We had a couple of visitors in the studio earlier on who were making their way to Firhill to enjoy the game. Hugh Keevans.
Yeah, young Rory and his granddad Billy came in for a tour of the Super Scoreboard Temple. But the Championship is my kind of wacky. I'm looking forward to the Championship more than I am the World Cup. When the big lads get their 5 week break because of what's going on in Qatar, I am more interested in wacky races. Air United at the top, Morton, Thistle, four games lost on the bounce, and they're still only 4 points off the top of the league. I am looking forward to the Championship very much.
If you want to be sent to Arbroath in December, that can be arranged, don't you worry.
Dick Campbell and me, made. What a partnership.
What could go wrong? Mr. Ayrshire himself has been sent to Ayr United against Morton. It's Roger Hanna.
Well, David said it was crazy. Hugh said it was wacky, and they're not wrong. I think the Championship must be the maddest league in British senior football this season, Gordon. 5 points separate the top seven teams going into this afternoon's four games, and it's the top two that go head-to-head at Somerset Park this afternoon. Now, David was right. Partick Thistle against Dundee, you would have thought, would have been a sort of promotion title battle, and probably in recent seasons here against Morton would have been seen as a sort of relegation six-pointer, but Lee Bullen and Dougie Emery have transformed the fortunes of these two teams. Ayr start today 3 points clear, and Dipawak and Yemi, they've got the top scorer in the Championship, 11 goals and 4 assists in 13 games. They won at Arbroath last week, and that was enough to keep them clear of Morton, who of course had beaten Inverness Carlow Thistle 4-0 at Capelaw in front of the TV cameras the night before. Unsurprisingly, not a lot of changes inside. One enforced change for Ayr. Logan Chalmers, who's on loan from Dundee United, he's injured. In comes Jaden Mitchell-Lawson, who came off the bench last week at Gayfield to win a penalty and score a goal. So Ayr go with Charlie Alberson in goals, the same back four, Nick McAllister, Alec Kirk, Sean McGinty and Frankie Masonda. Across the middle, Josh Mullen, Ben Dempsey, Andy Murdoch and Jaden Mitchell-Lawson. And up top, it's Dipo Akinyemi with Brad Young. On the bench, McAdams, Bryden, Billam, Bangala, O'Connor, Reading, Ashford, McKenzie and Ekrapont. Morton unchanged after that big win in front of the TV cameras 8 days ago. Only 6 players on the bench and no backup goalie again for Dougie Emery. So it's Brian Schwake in goal. At the back, Liam Grimshaw, Jack Baird, Effie Ambrose and Lewis Strapp. In the middle, Cameron Blues and Grant Gillespie are the two holders. And then Jai Kitongo, Robbie Crawford and Lewis McGrattan behind Robbie Muirhead. On the bench, Pignatiello, King, Hines, McGregor, Cabia and Lithgow. The referee's Ewan Anderson, of course. It's a Championship, so there's no VAR, but there is a growing sense of excitement down here at Somerset Park. Ayr have not been in the top flight since 1977-78. The closest they came was in 2000-2001, when they were runners-up in this league to Livingston. Unfortunately, Gordon, despite a lot of trying, I cannot find anything that tells me who the manager was.
We'll just move on. We'll leave that where it was. It wasn't you, Hugh Keevan, so turn your mic off. Some fantastic Championship games, 2 big games in the Premiership. You're all up to date with your team news, and we'll take a look at some of the week's biggest talking points after these.
At Byers Volkswagen, we've been family-owned since 1897, built on trust, driven by innovation. And now, buying your next Volkswagen is easier than ever. Shop online, customize your deal, and finalize everything from home. Just stop by to pick up the keys. It's that simple.
Drive home a new 2026 Volkswagen Tiguan S for $286 for 36 months with $2,499 due at signing.
The next generation shops online, and we're driving with them at ColumbusVolkswagen.com or visit us by the airport.
See dealer for details. Offer ends 4/30/2026.
Action as it happens. And your reaction from 5 on the open line. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans, Mark Wilson, Gordon DL in the studio. The top team are out and about around the grounds. They've given you team news. So at this stage on a Saturday, we usually pause for reflection on some of the week's biggest talking points. I'm going to try something drastic this week, Roger Hanna, and take the week's biggest talking points, but put a forward-looking spin on things. I think everybody's pretty tired of the debate about whether Celtic played well or not, and whether the points matched the performances, and whether that matters. And because it was almost the same reaction every week. Rangers fans were constantly disappointed. Celtic fans were disappointed in the results, but not at the performances. And nothing's changed. We've now finished the campaign, and it's as you were. So I wonder, what's next in a European context for them both? Ange Postecoglou made some interesting comments yesterday that I'll play. Let's start with Giovanni Van Bronckhorst though. What's next? Because he's made a lot of comments about budgets and all that sort of stuff. When you look at that Rangers squad, how many of them will actually play in European football should Rangers get there next season?
Well, I wrote a piece in the Sun through the week, Gordon, saying 9 of them wouldn't. I think we counted the older guys, Alan McGregor, Stephen Davis and Scott Arfield, all got 1-year deals in the summer. You can't see those deals being renewed again. Ryan Kent and Alfredo Morelos, I may be wrong, and you're probably wrong with Conor Goldson last season. I've seen nothing that would indicate they are going to sign new contracts to stay. James Sands and Malik Tillman, I have seen very little that would indicate they are worth the money that is in the clauses to make their loan deals permanent. And then you have Philip Hollander and Ryan Kent, two very good footballers, but you can only be a very good footballer if you're fit to be on the park, and injuries have dogged the two of them for the past two seasons. So that is 9 players, and that's before Rangers get any interest in the likes of a Leon King or anything like that. So I think the big thing for Rangers, and it starts probably immediately after the midweek game, is to start looking. They'll need recruits in January to keep pace with Celtic, and they will need a mass influx of players next summer, because there will be a mass exodus of players next summer.
It's going to be a really interesting time, that, Gordon DL, because look, you've got your short-term goals. I mean, really short-term. Rangers need to win at St Johnstone tomorrow. Then they're going to try and win the league, and they'll try and win the League Cup and the Scottish Cup when it comes around. But that planning obviously has to be there, as Roger says. Nine, you're talking 10 maybe out of contract players. You just wonder what stage that process is at already.
Yeah, the wheels will be in motion, there's no doubt in that, Gordon. Well, they should be if they're doing their job right. The question mark a lot of people will be asking, will it be the manager that takes them forward next year? It'll be the manager sitting down with Ross Wilson making these massive decisions. Of course, there's one or two, I think Roger was right in naming, like say McGregor, Davis, Sarfield, probably one-year deals won't get renewed again, they'll move on. New players will be brought in. The one thing I think they've got to learn is they've got to really improve in every aspect. If the manager's got going to be there, and I'm not here to shout for managers to get sacked, but if he's got to be there, his recruitment's got to be right. I don't think Rangers' recruitment since Van Bronckhorst has come into the club has been good.
Super Scoreboard Monday to Friday is normally the barometer of how the Rangers and Celtic fans are feeling. And for me, because of the Champions League run, the negativity surrounding Giovanni Van Bronckhorst is most noticeable. If he were to lose points between now and next Saturday, when the league goes into hibernation for 5 weeks, I think his position becomes questionable. Because the Rangers fans, there's a distance now between the manager and the fans. They don't think that he is succeeding for a variety of reasons, one of them being recruitment. And I know that comes down to Ross Wilson, but the manager must have some kind of input. And right now, Gordon DL hits the nail on the head. Yes, the reconstruction work needs done. Will it be done by the firm of Giovanni Van Bronckhorst?
I mean, Fraser Wishart, you know fine well how quickly football players come and go, but big rebuilds can sneak up on you, can't they? And it feels like that might be happening to Rangers at the moment.
Yeah, it does. And when Roger was talking about the number of players he thinks might not be there, you know, you actually think, well, I think he may be right. You know, there's a huge rebuild job, and football can just change so quickly. It's only 6 months ago when Rangers almost won the Europa League, and yet the same players just now are really struggling to hit any kind of form, and that's putting pressure on the manager. I think there's kind of rumblings, quiet rumblings amongst the Rangers supporters, thinking, you know, is Giovanni the man to take them forward? I don't think we're at a stage where they're going to be outside the door demanding his head, but I think Hugh's right. There's a real key period over the next week or so before we have the World Cup. But that's why you have to continually rebuild, and recruitment is absolutely essential. You can't get it right all the time, and Rangers have had some really good signings as well, but have to get the money to have a complete rebuild as well. You know, that's one thing that has to be asked, because they have earned good money. We know, we talk about it all the time in terms of Patterson and Aribo and the money through the Europa League going to the Champions League. But of course, people did put money in. There was loans given to the club under this new regime as well, and loans have to be paid back from time to time. So how much money would Ross Wilson and Giovanni Van Bronckhorst have? And it's amazing how it can turn around, because it's not that long ago when Ange Postecoglou walked through the door at Celtic Park and there was nothing here, hardly a player who's going to be retained, and he managed to do it very, very quickly. So football can change either way, but I think there's certainly more anxiety around the Rangers support at the moment than the Celtic support.
Yeah, like I said, Roger, if we try where possible to look at, you know, what happens next and the knock-on effects of Champions League rather than revisiting the performances, I guess it all starts tomorrow to find out if Rangers are bruised by any of this stuff. I mean, there can be direct consequences, of course. You can have players out injured because, you've played so many games. But then maybe that psychological side of things, you know, have the domestic results and the Champions League results actually been going hand in hand for the last few weeks?
It's interesting, Gordon, because I think despite all the problems they've had in Europe this season, 6 defeats, a record-breaking low campaign, I think they've won every domestic game, Rangers, when they've come back off the back of a midweek in Europe. So psychologically it doesn't appear to have damaged them at all. What would damage them is dropping any points in the next 8 or 9 days before the World Cup break. I think they've got St Johnstone tomorrow, as you say, half to Ibrox in midweek, and then they go to St Mirren next Saturday lunchtime. The minimum requirement is 9 points to try and keep pace with Celtic before the World Cup break, because if they fall further behind Celtic, and by 10-5 tonight they could be 7 points behind, if they don't, you know, if it's a gap bigger than four by the time the World Cup break comes up, then inevitably question marks are going to be asked inside there.
Yeah, Giovanni Van Bronckhorst saying he still wouldn't have swapped it. He wouldn't have rather been in the Europa League because it's, you know, perceived to be easier. He wouldn't have swapped the experience. In terms of what's next for Celtic then, David Friel, you were at Celtic's AGM yesterday, I know that because I was there as well, and for everyone's sanity it's probably best we don't debate which year certain clubs were formed or whether such a thing as silent drums can be purchased to take to a football match, but perhaps the most relevant point footballing wise was about what Celtic can do then to get better in the Champions League. And Ange Postecoglou gave quite interesting answers, didn't he, about selling players quickly.
Yeah, Gordon, it was actually fascinating listening to him, and I didn't get the impression he was talking 18 months, 2 years down the line. I think he's talking about here and now, and he also basically kind of laid the groundwork and told fans, look, it will be unsettling because some of your favourites are going to leave this club. And, you know, speaking to him, hearing him speak at AGM, and then obviously we both chatted to him afterwards, you know, he kind of expanded on it, and I don't think there'll be revolution in terms of Celtic's squad, but I definitely think you'll see an evolution, and I think guys who start every week just now will go, and I think he could easily go as soon as January, Gordon, to be honest with you. You know, he's speaking about cashing in guys. You know, if you're buying guys low then selling them high when the money's on the table, you need to take it, you need to improve, you need to buy better players. And I think come January Ange Postecoglou might cash in order to strengthen Celtic ahead of next season.
When I talk about being agile, that, you know, we've got to really be open minded about these things, and always without, you know, putting pressure on individuals or us forcing people out. I think there's a natural evolution of these things where the timing is right, and I think if the timing is right, if we've done our sort of planning correctly, we won't be in fear of letting someone go because we've already planned for that. And I think that has to happen. Again, if you look at all the clubs our size who have done well at Champions League level, by done well I mean make an impact, obviously not you know, necessarily winning the competition, all of them have some constants in that they're always in the Champions League and they've always got an aggressive trading model. You know, that's how you make up ground, you know. And you know, for us to be that sort of football club, we have to be the same.
Well, that's interesting. I don't think many people that went along yesterday or tuned in today could have predicted Ange Postecoglou coming out with something like that. I mean, he's a manager who comes out with some things that we don't often expect, and it's certainly a different way, I think, that from what Celtic fans have been used to in the past. It's not to say it's wrong, it's probably correct, but I heard you last night, Gordon, you said that, you know, you would think that this experience in the Champions League with these players, they would be better served next year and the following year, and they would grow into a team and get to know each other and become better players on that stage. He's kind of gone against that. So, interesting stuff. Whether it comes to pass, we were just chatting there. I mean, who are those players he's talking about? You've got to think Jota, O'Reilly, guys like that who have performed well at this stage and are fans' favourites, but probably will be the favourites to go then.
In terms of finance, which provides the funding for the rebuild or the reconstruction, whatever you want to call it, timing is everything. You look at Ibrox, Ryan Kent, Alfredo Morelos, they could have had in excess of £20 million for the pair when they were red hot. You wouldn't get a fraction of that now. Now, Jota, people have mocked Celtic celebrating scoring a goal in the Bernabeu when they were already 5-0 down. For me, my interpretation, call me an old cynic, Jota...
You're an old cynic.
Jota went over thinking, what a great career move this is for me.
I've just scored
a magnificent goal in the Bernabeu Stadium. So Jota may very well be one who goes in January, and as Ange Postecoglou has said, the Celtic fans will just have to understand that he, the manager, has this philosophy that don't think that losing Jota is the end of the world. Yeah. I'll buy you another one who's better.
But that's the point I'm going to pick you up there on. You can easily say, right, I'm selling Jota because I want to improve my team.
Yeah.
Jota's very hard to replace.
Yeah, I was going to say, Gordon, there's obviously a balance there. I'm sure Ange Postecoglou, you're going to sell them all, obviously, and you can only do it if it makes financial sense and you're confident you can upgrade. So although I get what the guys are saying, Jota would be favourite to attract attention, he would also be one of the tougher ones to be confident you could upgrade. Are there maybe others? Who else then? Who else in the team do you think, right, okay, Celtic fans might really like them, but do you know what? I think they could maybe upgrade that if they want to go better in Europe.
Yeah, I think O'Reilly comes into that. I think O'Reilly's a terrific talent, right? Kyogo, for instance, right? You've got Giakoumakis that some people just now think he should be the number one. But I go back to the Jota thing. As much as you're going, right, okay, we've got a sellable asset, we're wanting to improve, it doesn't guarantee you're going to bring in someone better than the quality that he's got. Maybe in paper, but he's hit the ground running. He's a fan favourite and he's been brilliant for Celtic.
What a position to be in. Roger Hanna, it was like a bit of a warning to the Celtic fans, because a lot of those players they absolutely love. They love what they're doing. But Ange Postecoglou saying you might need to get comfortable with the concept that they move on.
Yeah, I think that's right. Matt O'Reilly would probably be at the top of the queue as far as I was concerned. A lot of English Premier League interest in him. There's been a lot of scouts at Celtic Park for European games in particular watching him. Josip Juranovic, I don't think his agent's made any... he's not trying to hide the fact that he would try and like to move his client on. He was trying to stir up interest from Atletico Madrid, Manchester United, Chelsea in the last transfer window. So he could be another one, perhaps, that would be right for a move. But Ange Postecoglou is just, he's just alerting Celtic supporters to the reality of where Scottish football clubs, especially the old firm, stand in the, in the great pecking order. If Jota goes and scores a goal in the Bernabeu, people will sit up and take notice and potentially buy him from Celtic and pay him a lot more money than Celtic pay him. Likewise, O'Reilly, who I think has been, one of the shining lights for Celtic in Europe this season, it wouldn't surprise me if in the next 12 months he was lured down to the English Premier League. So Ange is just being honest, and he's saying his job and the job of the Celtic recruitment department is to be a step ahead and of the next Jota and the next Matt O'Reilly and the next Josip Juranovic ready to come in.
Right, let's bring it back to the immediate short term though, because we've got some big 3 o'clock games and we'll go back round the grounds next.
The team with the biggest support in Glasgow and the West. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans, Mark Wilson, Gordon DL are here. We're building up to the 3 o'clock games. Only two in the Premiership, two last night, two tomorrow. So spread out a bit across the weekend. Let's quickly hear from Ange Postecoglou and Dundee United boss Liam Fox as well.
That day was a little bit, unusual in that, we just hit a real sort of golden streak of, creating opportunities and scoring goals. We've had games where we've probably created more chances than we did that day, quite a few this year, and we just haven't capitalised. That day just all fell for us, and you have those kind of days. So I've got no doubt, as you said, they've had a bit of change since then, and they're going to make it come out here and make it tough for us. We're going to be ready for it, but as I said, our form has been really strong, and if we continue with that form, then we know we're going to be hard to stop.
We're going down there, it's 11v11, hopefully, if we keep everybody on the pitch, and we're going to get on the front foot. I'm not one for looking back. That previous result and game is gone and has been, so we'll go there and we'll make the very best of it. We know it's a tough challenge, but like I say, it's 11v11 at the end of the day, and we'll get on there and we'll get on the front foot. To be honest with you, we've never mentioned it this week. Yeah. The players never mentioned it. I'm not going to mention it. I'm not looking back, I'm just looking forward. Just another game, another 3 points.
Just another game, another 3 points. We'll find out in the not too distant future how that one goes. Ross County St Mirren's the other Premiership game, and I wonder, Dave Galloway, you see a bit of Ross County, mostly because you like to go to the local Wimpy on your way to the stadium, and I know it's an easy thing to point out, but is life after Regan Charles Cook and Hungbo proving to be difficult for Ross County down at the bottom of that table?
Yeah, I do think it is, but as I said, you know, pre-match, the manager Malky Mackay, you know, he's had to reinvent the squad yet again, but he's very positive about what he sees as an underlying trend that's going to move the team and the club forward. It would be very interesting to see how this one pans out. Interestingly, Ross County, they've failed to get a win in the last six games at home. St Mirren, on the other hand, they've suffered defeats in five of their previous six away matches. So, you know, a very intriguing game lies ahead, I would say. And, you know, both sides with a point or two to prove.
Yeah, so that's your other Premiership game in the Championship. I'm delighted to be able to keep a closer eye on it because it's a fantastic league. Just go and check out that table. If you don't believe us, Partick Thistle, Dundee. You were saying earlier, David Friel, you think, you know, Ian McCall's got enough goodwill in the tank. You don't think it's getting critical for him. We got three different Partick Thistle fans. I know it doesn't sound a lot, but to suddenly all phone in last Saturday night, yes, it's a bit of a small sample size, but it maybe shows the feeling of the disappointment at the moment.
Yeah, and it's understandable, Gordon, because the results have been shocking. I mean, they're just shipping goals left, right and centre. But I just think Ian McCall should have the trust of the fans for now. You know, I think he's a good manager. I think they have been badly hit by key players, especially Scott Tiffany. I just think he gives them the X factor in this division. So I think he'll be fine. But as I say, I wouldn't say the same for Gary Boyer. I know his remit at the start of the season was get promotion. I don't think Dundee so far have looked like the side who just came down from the Premiership. I think other sides have been far more impressive. So I definitely think there's more pressure on Gary Boyer today. But Ian McCall, of course, he's not immune to criticism. Partick Thistle will need to start turning this around pretty quickly, I would imagine.
Are you looking forward to a VAR this afternoon, or will you miss it dearly?
You know, I love it, Gordon, but yeah, I might go home 10 minutes earlier as well, given what happened last night. But no, obviously it'll be a bit strange. I'm sure there'll be contentious decisions here, but yeah, it will be. I think Craig Napier might be pretty relieved given what happened at St Johnstone last week as well.
Yeah, I mean, Roger Hanna, it's another weekend. Last night, certainly timescale-wise, it didn't cover itself in glory, because that's the bit everyone can agree on before you even argue about decisions. Is it taking too long? We've had our interesting case study during the week where Tony Watt wins on an appeal. So you're away from all that stuff this afternoon in the Championship.
Yes, no VAR down by the seaside today. It was interesting again last night. The delays are going to become an issue, I think, going forward. They need to do something to get the decisions a bit quicker. I think it was Lee Johnson said it was nine and a half minutes between the flag going off for Duke's offside, which wasn't offside, to the celebration of the second penalty for Bojan Miovski. That's just too long, I'm afraid. They need to do it quicker. They need to do it more efficiently. And after Tony Watt's red card was overturned, anyone else think Duke might have a problem for diving? No?
I suppose technically the possibility would be there. What do you make of it last night, Gordon?
Terrible. I've got to say, I watched the game. Need to watch what I'm saying here. Watched the game last night, and I thought that Hibs played particularly well.
You went up to Pittodrie,
yeah,
did you?
I was in the
in fact, listen,
the Granite.
No, that game was available on official pay-per-view. Yeah, so you're fine.
I was up there in an Ipton. But going back to the big talking point just before half time, I thought, okay, VAR and how long it took, fine, not got a problem with that. We'll learn from that. Hopefully we'll get quicker. The decision to give a penalty kick was, to me, one of the worst decisions I've seen. Terrible. And you know I back the referees.
You do.
Every single week on this programme. But I'll tell you what, you can't back the referee for that. I thought it was a terrible decision.
VAR is incompatible with Scotland as a country. And also, the horrendous 3 months that Ian Maxwell spoke about, the SFA chief exec, that will stretch to 3 years. 33 years and beyond. The slogan from the SFA was minimum interference, maximum benefit. And too often now, it's maximum interference, minimum benefit.
I mean, I get where Hugh's coming from, Roger. We are a fairly unique breed when it comes to the way we analyse our football. But I suppose the rest of the world's probably just laughing at us and saying, well, you know what, calm down, because this is exactly what we experienced at the start with the lengthy delays. And we mentioned it during the week, Aston Villa, was it Douglas Luiz, you said, exact same situation with Tony Watt. I mean, it shouldn't happen, but VAR has its flaws, whether it's here or anywhere else.
Yeah, and we're just late to the party, so the teething troubles that we're experiencing now have been experienced by other nations some months or years ago, Gordon. You're quite right. The problem will be as if beyond the 3 months or 4 months or whatever it is that Ian Maxwell talked about, that these problems have still to be ironed out. The delays are the major problems, because I don't think you can have a 9 minute, you know, interruption in the middle of a game when all of this is going on. That's just it's unworkable. So that needs to be ironed out, and some of the decision making processes I'm sure will be ironed out, because the referees and the VARs don't want the embarrassment of reaching a Tuesday or a Wednesday or a Thursday and the decisions that they've pondered over on a Saturday afternoon or a Sunday afternoon are overturned by three folk at Hampden in the midweek.
Absolutely. Well, let's see what drama we've got on the pitch and at Clydesdale House this weekend. The 3 o'clock games are coming up next. We'll go back to Celtic Park.
The winning team all season long. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Teams are out at Celtic Park. Fraser Wishart and Andrew McLean.
Yeah, I'll run you through the starting lineups for Celtic and Dundee United. For Celtic, Joe Hart in goal, the back four, Anthony Ralston, Cameron Carter-Vickers, Moritz Jentz and Alexandre Bernabe. The midfield three, David Turnbull, Matt O'Reilly and Rio Hatate, with Serge Haksabanovic and Jota either side of Yorgos Giakoumakis. For Dundee United, Mark Berigitti in goal for them. The back three, Liam Smith, Ryan Edwards and Scott McMahon. Kieran Freeman and Aziz Behic are the two wing-backs. Craig Sybald, Arnaud Joom and Ian Hart, the three central midfielders, with Jamie McGrath supporting Stephen Fletcher. There's certainly goals in this Celtic team. Fraser Wishart and Dundee United have made changes to try and combat that, because they've taken out Levitt and Watt, more attacking players, Joom and Harks in for them.
Yeah, they're going to try to smother the midfield. They know that's where Celtic's strength is, that's where they dictate the play, they get the ball into the wide areas and they just flood teams with their attacking play. So I think that's a key area for me. Celtic in the first 10-15 minutes, they'll take the game to United. Can they resist it? That's a key period.
We are underway at Celtic Park.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard Goal Flashes with Clyde Built Home Improvements. Trade accounts available now. Call them today.
Showtime in the Premiership and beyond. Let's see what the 3 o'clock games have in store. Sit back and relax. We'll take you through it all. We'll cover all the big talking points. And then when it's all said and done, it will be your chance to have your say on the open line. Hopefully I'm making good use of that goal flash button this afternoon. And I've got a nice surprise for you as well. It's not just the goal flashes. I've got another button for you this afternoon. I've not left much to the imagination to tell you what it is, but we'll find out. We'll see if it gets a run out in the first couple of minutes, which is possible. Celtic, Dundee United, Ross County, St Mirren is the Premiership card today, and our featured Championship matches: Ayr United against Morton and Partick Thistle against Dundee. So come on then, you absolute duds. How are those four games going to go?
Celtic 3-0, but if they'd taken their chances, it would have been 6. I'm also taking St Mirren to win at Ross County, because their major fault, they've played 13 games, Ross County, and scored 7 goals. Can't even reach double figures in goals, and we're a third of the way through the season. And in the Cinch Wacky Races Championship, I am taking Morton to prove it really is wacky by winning at Ayr, and Partick Thistle will beat Dundee.
And our featured games, I'll go for 4 home wins. So that's Celtic, easy as that. Ross County, Ayr United and Partick Thistle.
Gordon Deal.
I'm going for Celtic, Ross County. I'm going
Ross
for
Ross County. Okay.
Yeah. I'm going for Ayr United and I'm going for a Dundee.
Good. Well, sit back. If you want to stay in touch throughout the afternoon, at Clyde SSB is where you send your tweets. We'd love to have them. And like I said, they'll give you the nod on the open line a bit later on as well. So keep your thoughts coming in. Keep us company. That's the best part of a Saturday. We can try and share as much of it with you as possible. As you would imagine, Celtic are starting fast in the sense that they're getting the ball back in play and moving it quickly like they always do. Still nothing really to tell you about in terms of the action. Mark, if you're a Dundee United player that was part of the 9, psychologically, how do you get over that?
See, to be honest, it's pretty difficult. I know Liam Fox has said there in his interview that we've not spoke about it and we're not looking back at that, but it's kind of a hard point in your career to forget about when you're coming up against this team, you know, so soon afterwards. So it's going to be difficult for them, but look, they're professional players. They need to try and go there and make it difficult for Celtic. I was surprised when Liam Fox says we'll be on the front foot. He said it twice, and I'm thinking, how much are you going to be in the front foot here? And he's went with what looks like a back five. Now we've seen Livingston change to a back five and Celtic still found a way through. So these games, for the wayside, it's always important. The old cliche, the first 15 minutes to try and keep yourself in it and don't let Celtic score quickly or the game just gets away from you.
Yeah, I think it was 6 of today's starting 11 started the 9-0, Gordon. And it's all right saying even if you intend to be in the front foot, sometimes it's easier said than done, because if you can't get the ball off Celtic and naturally you go back the way.
I think what the Dundee United manager meant was, if we get the ball, we're going to try and get in the front foot.
Jota's gone close there, sorry, with a shot just wide. It was Ralston with a deep ball, and Jota a bit off target.
You'd expect, obviously, everybody knows Celtic will probably have the majority of the ball. It's what Dundee United do when they get it. Getting back to the 9-0, would it bother me? No, I wouldn't bother at all about it. It's a different game.
So you're just the type of guy that it doesn't matter how much you've messed up, you just absolve yourself from any blame and move on.
Listen, I forgot about yesterday. I'm one for the future. I don't look back. Always forward for me, positive thinking.
Go from one mistake to another with no loss of enthusiasm.
And on the way, I'd blame everyone else apart from myself. So it makes up for it.
A changing goalkeeper from that day as well, of course. Birigiti today, it was Eriksen for the 9-0. I wonder actually, Mark, if that is a small part of Dundee United's problems. One of my favourite long-held theories is the team that goes down in the Scottish Premiership usually has trouble in goal.
Yeah, as a goalie, it doesn't save things usually.
Go and look them all up every year. The teams that are down there have got issues in goal. It's always the way.
Birigiti wasn't part of the nine, but was he not the goalkeeper who lost 7 to AZ Alkmaar?
Yes, so they've both had their interesting afternoons. We've got one of these in the Championship.
Goal flashes with Clyde Built Home Improvements.
And it's 1-0 to Ayr United. Ayr United 1, Morton 0. Alex Kirk, it was a header from about a yard out. The keeper parried from Depo Akinyemi's initial effort. Alex Kirk with the header, 1-0 Ayr United. Raith Rovers are one up on Hamilton Accies. It's like all of Gordon DL's former teams are scoring at once. I'm just waiting to see how Glenn Afton are getting on this afternoon.
Man City playing this week.
Raith Rovers 1, Hamilton Accies 0.
All Rangers are tomorrow. Man City.
Often gloss over your time at Glen Afton. Don't hear much about
Man
that.
City are playing Fulham.
You're loads
Man City are playing Fulham.
He's trying to get back to it.
Let's see if Man City scored against Fulham.
How was your. Well.
Is Erling Haaland playing?
No,
I don't think
he's
he
on
is.
The bench.
Nah, he's not. So
on the bench.
Anyway, Jack Baldwin sent a header straight at the keeper from a corner, so a positive-ish start from Ross County. No goals to tell you about. Oh, right on cue.
Goal flashes with Clyde Built Home Improvements.
Dundee United legend Mark Wilson was just telling us it's all about those first 15 minutes. Well, Dundee United have lasted 6 and Celtic have gone in front. It was Jota with a cross come shot and then it's tapped in by Sead Haksabanovic and Celtic are up and running, unless VAR rules out for something. I feel like I need to just throw that in every week now. Let's just say Celtic are in front and we'll deal with whatever follows. Bright start, Hugh Keevans.
Yeah, I mean, Dundee United's worst nightmare, Celtic going in front early on. Haksabanovic, what a luxury, you know. Doesn't get a start at the Bernabeu, but you can save him for Saturday for the domestic stuff. So
and Jota, for that matter.
Yeah, so it really is a strength in depth. I just wonder, Ange speaking publicly about, I might have to move some of your favourites on. You know, does that incentivise you to get a move from Celtic, or does it incentivise you to say, well, I don't want to move on, I want to impress you?
Oh, everybody wants to move on if the price is right, don't they? It certainly looks more like a cross when you get the chance to look at it back. Mark Wilson, I don't think we need to split hairs over it anyway. It's a ball from Jota and a finish by Sead Haksabanovic and Celtic are in front.
Got to say they've started brightly as well. Jota's had a few opportunities and then that's certainly a cross from him. Haksabanovic at the back post there just knocking it in. If you're Dundee United, I mean, Daz is saying, now when they think of that 9-0, I tell you what, if I'm
You'll
a United player and I'm looking up at the clock and I'm seeing 6 minutes and we're one down, I'm thinking, oh, here we go. And every one of these players looking fresh, the 7 changes, There's no tiredness in the legs. Long afternoon ahead for United.
Keep it tight for a warm up was the call, I think, this afternoon. You don't want to lose a goal as quickly as that against Celtic. With there are players out there with a lot to prove still. You know, the size of the squad, they want to play week in, week out. Everybody does. That is the worst possible start. And I've got to say, terrible, terrible defending as well.
Bonnie Rigg Rose 0 Elgin City 1. Russell Dingwall's penalty on the 8th minute, putting Elgin in front. James Tavernier's brother has scored. You know, I'll always try and link any goal that happens down south to up here. So there we go. We've got the Rangers captain's brother Marcus has equalised for Bournemouth against Leeds. Mulligan's been booked for Dundee. Bad tackle on Turner, but no chances there in that one between Partick Thistle and Dundee. And your first half teaser, Hugh Keevans, is about to get up and running. Oh, hold on. There is a VAR check at Celtic Park. What for, though? That would be the question. Let me go. Will I do it for the first time? Yeah. Remember I told you I had a new button for you?
VAR review with Clyde Built Home Improvements.
Here we are. It's for a handball in the Celtic box.
Futuristic,
that. So it could be a penalty to Dundee United.
Wow.
And the check is ongoing. It looked clear to Andrew McLean and the guys. It looked like Burnaby's arm was up. And by the way, when we see clear, we mean in the sort of modern definition of the rule. Everybody accepts that it can be a real pain in the neck for footballers who are not separated by much distance. But you tend to find that if there is a... I mean, it seems extremely close to Burnaby as well, and his hand sort of goes.
No, I'm not having that.
Well, it's going to the screen, the referee. Oh, so that's going to be that's going to be given, you would imagine, because the referee's going to the screen.
So he's trying to head it. His arm's behind him.
Come on.
No,
it's the handball rule. Yeah. It's not VAR or anything else.
He can't believe it, Burnaby.
It's getting to the stage where, as a player,
you need to tuck your shorts and your arms in your shorts.
I'm not really sure what you do as a player these days. Everyone says that, and at the start that sentence used to annoy me. Thought it was a bit of a cliche. But my goodness.
What are you thinking there?
I'm thinking it's destroying football. That's what I'm thinking.
Well, it's going to be a penalty.
The good thing about this is it doesn't have to be all about Celtic. We're now just seeing it across the board. Yes, this week it's Matt O'Reilly and it's Burnaby. Last week, Livy might have felt aggrieved at Andrew Shinney. We've obviously had the Michael Smith situation. We've seen Tottenham in Champions League and various other penalty has been given to Dundee United, and one of these in the other game as well.
Goal flashes with Clyde Built Home Improvements.
Jordan White's put Ross County one up at home to St Mirren from close range. Latoury with the cross, Jordan White with the finish. The Celtic fans in the stadium are outraged, and as the rule then follows, it's the same with Matt O'Reilly. Burnaby gets booked.
What is going on in football? See the Matt O'Reilly one in that. Yeah, as harsh as it is, this is ridiculous. But with the letter of the law, I suppose. Well, they need to give it.
The argument is Fletcher could score there with that header.
Stephen Fletcher's the one that's going to take the penalty.
That's
by the way,
the argument, Matt, he's not, but he could. But I find that
so unfortunate for Burnaby. I mean, his arm's behind him.
Yeah, the one that would, there's a line in there that's really making it. Here's up Stephen Fletcher, by the way.
Goal flashes with Clyde Built Home Improvements.
And he scores from the spot. It's Celtic 1, Dundee United 1. And more VAR drama already.
See, that's that 9-0 put to bed.
9-1. Yeah. It's astonishing. Absolutely astonishing. And the referee, I think, whether it's this guy or any other guy, they're sent to the monitor and they're not coming back without saying, it's a penalty.
Oh, yeah, we know that by now. It's just that's what's happening with handball all over the place, Gordon.
The minute it goes to the screen, but we've looked at it a million times. I just don't know how you're supposed to jump to header a ball, which is a big part of football, without using it. And it's not even, he's not even facing the ball, he's turned away from it. The ball's been aimed towards him, he doesn't know it, it's hitting the back of his hand. Listen, I am so glad I'm in here with you boys. I really look
forward. We're delighted to have you.
I look forward
as well,
to it. I couldn't be bothered going to Celtic Park now and playing.
I suppose the game, and they're trying to change the rules to make it as entertaining as possible and as many goals as possible. Well, the handball rule is certainly, you know, went that way, because, you know, you're going to get, we are going to get surely a record amount of penalties, handball offences this season.
Already the stats for penalties are way up, really, pro rata, if you like, versus what they were pre VAR introduction. We've got another goal in the Highlands. What a game this is.
Goal flashes with Clyde Built Home Improvements.
And it is an equaliser for St Mirren. A brilliant free kick from Strain from distance finds the net, and we are level. Ross County 1, St Mirren 1.
Great start to this afternoon. I mean, look, we're 13 minutes into both games. You know, goals everywhere. Yeah, fantastic stuff.
That's the third penalty given against Celtic in 4 days. Two for Real Madrid.
All three for handball.
Yeah.
And they got one last week, you know, and in the week before, there was
the Michael Smith incident.
Yeah, two in that game, and Celtic then got denied one. VAR.
Well, it tells you, Mark, that Postecoglou will need to encourage them to use your feet instead of using their hands. They're giving away too many penalties.
I want to be in training.
Exactly, they're passing the ball with their hands.
See, of all the lines in the rule that trouble me personally about this, right? If you take like I said, it doesn't even need to be Burnaby. It can apply this to any, or you know, many of the ones that you've seen recently. There is a line, right, in the rule. So we've heard all this about unnaturally bigger. A player is considered to have made their body unnaturally bigger when the position of their hand or arm is not a consequence of or justifiable by the player's body movement for that specific situation. Why does Burnaby's hand come out behind his back? Because he's strained his neck and flicked his head forward to head the ball. Oh, yeah. Then his hand comes out behind him. So how is that not a consequence of or justifiable by the player's body movement for that specific situation? Hugh, that's the bit I'll never understand.
Yeah, and that's what troubles me about the referees, because he's been given the opportunity, and he, through his professional eye, should be able to come to the conclusion that you have come to, that all Burnaby did was try to get as much force on the ball as he possibly could. He has no idea the ball struck his arm. And the referee could always come back and say, yeah, I've had another look, it's not a penalty. But when they are sent to the monitor, they go over there thinking, well, there's no way I'm coming back, arguing with Clydesdale House.
I mean, we're all hypocrites, Gordon DL. So if I was producer Callum, who's telling me it's a stonewaller, and if that was against my team, then you would probably say, well, do you know what? Stephen Fletcher's header's going on target, it's going towards goal, Burnaby's hand stopped it, and therefore I feel that should be a penalty. And I would sort of get that as well. That wouldn't upset me too much. But I just, and this isn't VAR, this isn't Scottish football, this is IFAB. When they come up with these rules, if you're going to put that line in your rule in black and white, that it's only if the hand movement is not justifiable by your body movement in that situation, you surely have got to respect what that actually means.
Yeah, I feel, because I look at that jump there and I can't get it in my head what he can do to get himself off the ground if he doesn't use his arms, right?
But I don't think it's the jump though. When he pulls his head back and he cranes his neck forward, the arms sort of swing round.
Listen, I was prolific in the box there, and I would use my arms to get up there against the big centre halves. But I've got to say, I think that I would hate to play football in a modern day game. I think it ruins a game for me.
Anyway, but the referee should know that.
No, but listen, I'm sure he does. He will, but they obviously still think it's a penalty. You know, it's not. Let's not be daft about this. They'll know the rule, and it's not just him. He's got two pals looking at it as well at Clydesdale House. So, anyway, Hugh Keevans, let's do this.
The first half teaser
with the ScottishSun.co.uk/football for the best football news and opinion online.
Name the last six Spaniards who have scored a league goal for Celtic or Rangers and also played at least 10 league games for either club. Quite simple. Name the last half dozen Spaniards who have scored a league goal for Celtic or Rangers and also played at least 10 league games for either club.
Great question. At Clyde SSB, send a tweet with all the correct answers on it. Do it quicker than everyone else. and that's how you win the first half teaser. I'll give you some clues as we go along. I'll eliminate some wrong answers, so let's see how you do. Something scary about this. Every time it was your two ex-teams scored at the same time, they've now both conceded at the same time. Okay. Hamilton Accies are level, Jean-Pierre Tihi with the equaliser for the Accies, and in our featured championship match as well.
Goal flashes with Clyde Built Home Improvements.
It's looking up, Morton fans. It's Air 1, Morton 1, Jai Katongo with a header at the back post from a corner kick, and Air are level now. And Morton are level, I should say, with Air.
Jai Katongo, he's been round the houses a bit. What injuries, but now back at Morton and find his feet there. Morton are something else this season. Some of their signings and the games they've played in, terrific.
Good save from Birigiti to deny Giacomakis with the header.
Just to go back to the penalty award, I mean, I think referees are now content to let the machine do it. He's gone over to look at that, and either he doesn't know the rule.
I will, though. He will. I mean,
doesn't understand it sufficiently well,
or interprets it differently. I think we have to be, you have to be fair on that. He'll understand it, and he'll certainly know it. He's interpreting it in a way that
Do you think that the machines, well, we'll call it machines, putting them under pressure, right? I'll give you a perfect example. The Aberdeen last night, the referee under no circumstances was given the penalty kick. Absolutely not given that penalty kick. Mm-hmm. What happened was, obviously in his ear, he was asked to go across and look. The minute they do that, you said it right away there, well, it's got to be a penalty kick. Right, it puts them under pressure to give the decision for me. I thought I'll still go mm-hmm. with it. I thought that was a terrible decision.
Yeah, Celtic. And do you know what, Mark? This is something that I think maybe has gone a little bit unspoken about VA. Oh, hold on. We've got another one of these at Celtic Park. Oh.
VAR review with Clyde Built Home Improvements.
It's for serious foul play. Craig Sibbald on Georgios Giacomakis. So this could be a red card for Dundee United, should the referee decide. But you're laughing. It might be the right decision.
It might be. But just calm down. We're getting our money's worth out of this VAR.
I don't know when Fraser Wishart's wedding anniversary is, but I hope it's not tonight, because he'll miss it.
I wish I had VAR when I was getting married. It'd be brilliant.
The thing that, again, could be quite concerning, because you've seen it with the Tony Watt one last week, the foul's not even given at the time. Here, not even a foul. The on-field referee doesn't even think this is a foul, and now it might be a red card for Craig Sibbald. So that's the bit that never looks great. It's a high foot, no doubt, for Craig Sibbald. The studs sort of go in towards, as Giacomakis is like, is it chest area? Maybe even a bit below. We've got one of these in the championship just now anyway.
Goal flashes with Clyde Built Home Improvements.
Harry Milne has scored for Partick Thistle. There we are, all the doom and gloom. Partick Thistle one up against Dundee at Firhill.
So now,
do you think that's a red here?
I don't think it's a red, no.
I think you'll be lucky escaping this.
Whilst the all the debate about, you know, the handball rule and so on, but the serious foul play rule is a bit similar, isn't it? Because when you've got that rule about endangering an opponent, or, you know, the excessive force, could you say that any stud to the stomach is endangering the opponent? But then are you going to see red cards all the time? It's a minefield, and it's not. Yeah. You know, it's not all VAR, because we've argued about loads of red card challenges.
Yeah, I think in these situations the referee has to be strong. We've chatted about this before. Every call,
play
over
on,
to,
no action taken. There
well
we
done.
Are.
Well done, because I think that was the correct decision. Referees have to be strong. When they get called over to that monitor, it doesn't necessarily mean that they are wrong. He didn't see anything wrong with that, and he was right. It's a challenge. It's a coming together. Yes, it's probably a high foot, but no more than that for me. I know he catches Giacomakis, but it's not a serious foul play.
What do you think we'll be talking about at 5 o'clock and the line's open?
Yeah, maybe the handball. But there we are. So
do you think that was a red though?
No,
I
thought it was a terrific decision by the referee.
You said that was a red.
No, I did not. I never once said.
How
that
do
was
you
a
two feel about that teaser question? Do you think you're going to make good headway on that? Just a quick reminder, Hugh, because we got distracted by the drama.
Name the last half dozen Spaniards who scored a league goal for Celtic or Rangers and also played at least 10 league games for either club.
Yeah, I think Mark Wilson's one of them's wrong.
I don't know. I know it's something like that.
Going to tell us which one?
No.
No.
We'll leave it there. Right, so Celtic 1, Dundee United 1. What I was about to say, Mark, before that, Ange Postecoglou is huge, absolutely huge, on keeping the ball in play as often as possible. You've seen it before. Yeah. Ball goes out, ball boys, get it back on. Free kick, take it quickly. Goal kick, take it quickly. Keep the ball in play for as much of the 90 minutes as possible to give your so-called superior players the best chance of winning the game. That's going to be a lot harder if you keep stopping for VAR.
Oh yeah,
and it's the
yeah,
first time. Am I right in saying this is Celtic's first home game since?
Yep.
Now he can't always get it his own way with the ball boys at Livy or Dingwall or wherever else, but at Celtic Park it is a slick operation. Not when VAR's there.
Yeah, and it does slow down.
And it'd be interested to see the impact that it has, because every time there's a check, I think there was 3.5 minutes between the handball for Burnaby and the penalty being retaken, the penalty being scored or play being restarted.
Yeah, it's been such a feature of Celtic's game since he's came to Celtic, and it's incredibly difficult to live with if you're an opposition player, because there is no respite. And I would expect opposition managers to go there and tell their team, look, slow things down before VAR come into play. Slow things down as much as we can. Take our time, disrupt the flow. Now that's taken out of the opposition team's hands, it's now in the referee's hands. And the more checks we get, yeah, it does disrupt the flow.
Ange's "we never stop" has become "we always stop"
for VAR.
Yeah, and I think it's
5.5 minutes so far for VAR in 23:24 on the clock. Because yeah, actually, Hugh, even just it feels like the game's died a bit.
Without doubt.
You know what I mean? The Celtic started very quick, scored, thinking how many, Dundee United get the penalty, fine, and score it. I feel like neither team's really started again, and it's just a bit disjointed.
I believe that VAR is bad for football in general. I believe it's going to put people off the game. It's creating nonsensical decisions, and I just think that in this country, people will not put up with this.
Again, I know what you're saying, but they don't put up. They argue about it everywhere.
I understand.
They're still doing it in England. They've had it for however many years.
Here we have a perfect example of a game that's practically been killed stone dead.
Yeah, but again, there'll be loads of them. There will be loads, and especially with handball, just we've seen it in so many countries.
But it's bad for Celtic today, that's for sure, because it's killed their momentum stone dead. It's 1-1. We were talking about Dundee United's worst nightmare, going behind in 6 minutes, but what's taken place?
But it's been good for Dundee United.
I remember some of the debate just before it came in. You know, would it benefit the big teams, or would it benefit the wee teams? On behalf of wee teams everywhere, are Dundee United getting that penalty in a million years at Celtic Park without VAR?
No.
I'll be honest with you.
But the fact of the matter is, it wasn't a penalty.
I was looking forward to VAR. I've got to say, I was all for it. I've sort of changed my mind. I'm with you. I think it's spoiling their game. I think referees are taking too long. I know it's new. I know that we have to get up to speed with it. I take that on board. But I'm looking at some decisions that I think the referee, the minute he has to go over to that monitor, I think it puts him under severe pressure.
Man City are down to 10 men inside 26 minutes.
We know how we play
Joao
with 10.
Cancelo has been sent off.
When I played with City, they always played with 10.
Yeah, well, Baldwin's gone off injured for Ross County, so that's not ideal. Watson has come on, and it's level, isn't it? It's a good game, that one. One each there in the Highlands. It would appear that you're having quite the afternoon anyway. You?
Why are we eyes at?
Well, I've told you before, I've got eyes and ears everywhere on you two. I think Hugh, he's a bit trickier to sort of stay in touch with, because
I owned up to you yesterday. I just confessed that I had to get someone to come upstairs and show me how to work the vending machine.
He did, because the vending machine upstairs only
you get at the vending machine.
I have no
got a porridge
them.
bar.
A porridge bar, yeah.
Because the new vending machine upstairs doesn't accept coins. It's one of the, it only accepts your card. So someone had to chaperone him up to the machine and show him how to work it. However, there is this. See if I could think of one story, genuinely one anecdote, that sums you up in a nutshell. This would be it. Are you ready for this, Mark Wilson?
Yeah.
Because you will love it.
Okay.
Right, just along the road there on the way in, driving along Dumbarton Road. He's popped into, I've had a message from Davey from Innovation Flooring, right? He's got, he's eyeing up some new carpets.
New flooring.
Well,
not with that.
He doesn't like this already.
That's not the bit.
People knows he's getting a new floor.
That's not the bit that I've got issues with.
Don't fit it.
That's not the bit that I've got issues with, right? So what's like the most, once you've picked your floor or whatever, what's the most obvious next question that you're going to get asked?
What size?
Right, so do you know what he did when he was asked what size? he started pacing out. He's obviously paced out his room, and he's put his left foot in front of his right, then again in front of his left, then his right, then his left, toe to heel, till he got 9 steps one way. Then he turned and did 6 in the other direction. And that was the size of flooring that he was looking for.
Really?
That is outrageous.
She'd be fair.
Ever heard of a tape measure?
I'm not very good.
That's right. The old coach in him, isn't it?
Right.
Marking out a box and the cones and that.
I was walking out the house. I didn't have a... And I thought, right, how do you do this? So I just done knick-knacks. Right, I'd done across and down.
10 yards.
Right, and I went in, he says to me, what size is it? I went, 9 of these. And said, by the way, should be fair to Davey. On the ball.
Sorted out straight away.
He went, I know what you're looking for.
He must be an ex-player if he knows his yardage like that. How do you think that's even acceptable to go into a flooring place and pace it?
Do me a favour again, right? Because I say to the boys, got to stick that in the car, right? I'm going to take it with me. Two boys are out, I'm giving them a bit of stick. They were painting and decorators. They were just in the shop.
You asked other customers to carry your
carpet. The stuff. I couldn't.
Have you got
it.
Your carpet in your car just now?
That's not a carpet, it's flooring.
Oh, right.
I'm up market.
How are you going to fit it then?
Oh, as if he's going to fit it. A guy that doesn't know how to open a tape measure and read the numbers that are on it.
Do you think that'll
no,
be the
no
right
more nails. Get that in the back of it and stick it down.
Do you think that'll be the right size?
100% no. Yeah, these things are specialised. You sometimes get, well, usually get people out to measure up.
And you need a bit of wastage as well for the excess.
I was right on the 9. Think
right about on the size 9 foot.
You should have said it was 10 then, 10 by 7, just to give you a bit of leeway.
Oh, I hope it's short. You know what? I hope it's short and it's left a yard of just bare flooring.
No, but you know how tight he is. He wouldn't go back and get more. He'll just put something on it.
I'd colour it.
He'd just move a table or something just to cover up his
the couch. Oh man, that was
good.
Right, there's another long stoppage of play. No, I don't listen. These things happen because. Birigiti, the goalkeeper's down getting treatment. It looked like he was going to gather the ball over the top, but Ryan Edwards, his own player, got in first, cleared it and wiped him out, and now he's down getting a bit of treatment. Oh my, I mean, honestly, talk about chaotic defending from Dundee United.
Yeah, I mean, nightmare for them, especially if they lose Birigiti here. He's already made, was it just one save, maybe a couple of saves, but for the Celtic players, even for the Dundee United players, if you want to slow things down, this isn't ideal. I mean, so much time gone by, you're just standing on the pitch. You want to get into a rhythm when you're playing, particularly the Celtic players, of course, because they're at home and all that brings. But it's just
this
a
could
long
be the first game,
first
to,
half,
first game to finish during the open line.
Look, to be fair, look, Birigiti's injured and he's getting treatment. That happens. Let's not get hysterical. Guy's down injured, gets treatment. Right, and it's not anything to do with VAR. He's back on his feet, the ball's back in play, and on we go. There was a chance for Ross County from a corner. It was a ball helped on to White, but his effort was saved by Trevor Carson. So Jordan White looking for a second goal of the afternoon, but they are level at home against St Mirren. It was Strain's free kick which cancelled out the opener. Celtic went in front early through Haksabanovic, but the old VAR handball penalty combination saw Stephen Fletcher score and get them level. In our featured championship games, Ayr United 1, Morton 1 and Partick Thistle 1, Dundee 0. Remind me of your teaser if you can, Hugh.
Name the last 6 Spaniards who scored the lead goal for Celtic or Rangers and also played at least 10 league games for either club.
Good question. Let's see how you're getting on with it. Some very good answers already, I must admit. Some very, very good answers indeed. We've got FM Dafty. That looks not bad. Liam wants to throw in David Fernandez.
Throw him back out again.
No.
Nope.
Okay. What else have we got on here? SD wants to throw in Juanma Ortiz.
No.
Never scored. You had him in your list
as
that's
well. That's the wrong one, right?
That's the one.
Him off.
Yeah,
that's the
wrong one. One better on
we've
there.
Replaced him with this fella here.
Alejandro Bedoya.
Oh, no. Obviously wrong.
No.
Obviously
is
wrong.
Is he not American? He's American for a start.
should have researched that before.
I can't doubt you fell for that one.
Yeah.
No more answers for you, please.
Not even. I mean,
how far back does it go?
Probably to the sort of mid, not early 2000s.
Oh, right.
There's one in there goes back that far, and then somewhere a bit more recent. Anyway,
aye, of course.
At Clyde SSB, get your answers in, please. I'll give you another. In fact, you know what? We'll just do it during the halftime break because there's been so many delays. I feel like I'll give you a bit longer on this one. Anyway, right? Okay, I think we're calm. No, got any ongoing VAR checks at the moment. Nothing doing that I can see, or is there? Yes, we've got more action at Celtic Park.
Goal flashes with Clyde Built Home Improvements.
And it's Sead Haksabanovic at the double. He's on for a first half hat trick at this rate. It just shows you, we talk about the seven changes. He doesn't feature in the Bernabeu from the start, and he comes in from the beginning today and gets two goals, Hugh Keevans.
Well, we'll see if that restores Celtic's equilibrium, if I can put it that way, because the VAR nonsense seemed to disrupt their rhythm completely. But noses back in front and Dundee United back to being up against it.
Yeah, a bit of a strange entry into the goal. Sort of, I'm not sure if it squirms under Birigiti, it sort of hits the posts, maybe even more than one. But not that it matters, it ends up in the back of the net, but it sneaked its way in. I think ultimately it's going to have to probably go down as a bit of a goalkeeping not howler, it doesn't go into the howler category, but must do better. And what did I say 10 minutes ago? Dundee United's goalkeeping issues not brilliant.
Maybe the injury played a big part in it, but take nothing away from Haksabanovic. I think he's a top player.
Yeah,
very great understanding with Taylor down the left hand side, but
that'll do him a lot of good today.
He'll certainly be looking for that hat trick, that match ball.
Yeah,
we had a VAR check on the goal.
Well, every goal has to get checked. Yeah. That's just, you know, that's part.
Is there someone in you talking about someone blocking the goalkeeper's view here that could it be offside?
Is it Jackie Marcus?
Yeah.
The goalkeeper has got to save that regardless. Even if there's somebody standing right in front of him, he's still got to save that. But Haksabanovic, good player, by the way. And that's maybe what Ange Postecoglou is talking about. Jota, obviously the star in the team, most sellable asset, maybe him and O'Reilly. But Haksabanovic is not a bad replacement just now.
Abada
on the bench as well, Forrest there. But Haksabanovic playing, he can play left, he can play right, he can play in that midfield role. He's added so much, and I think he's only going to get better. I think Postecoglou said that, you know, once he really gets up to speed, you know, gets a full pre-season under his belt, he's a top player and impressed so far.
Anyone else struggling to concentrate on the show without the image of Gordon in the middle of a public flooring showroom but with his balance, holding both hands out, putting one foot in front of the other, and then on to the next just to measure out how much flooring he needs for his house? I think that is one of the most ridiculous things I've ever heard.
I'm sure Davey was clearing the floor for it to get the full measure.
Hold on, I'll move this stuff out of the way.
He's coming through.
Another one of these.
Goal flashes with Clyde Built Home Improvements.
Okay, here's the competition you never knew you needed. There's a race on between Sead Haksabanovic and Harry Milne to see who can get the quickest hat-trick, because he's put Partick Thistle 2-0 up. It was a tidy finish at the back post, and it is much better for the Jags. We've had a lot of complaints, if you like,
go back
recently.
To David Friel's point that Ian McCall wasn't the manager under pressure today. It was Dundee's manager, Gary Boyer. So, you know, the Dundee fans will not appreciate where they sit in the league table at the moment.
Good result, that. Well, scoreline for Thistle.
You'd say that was a former Dundee United player.
Yeah.
I'm like to big, see Dundee.
Not a big fan of Dundee.
Misery. No, even though you grew up a Celtic supporter
and wanted to play with Celtic.
But you go to United for so long twice and you've stayed
with
you.
I never thought about that.
You, Aaron, Cowden Beef. Kelly.
You sent off in a derby. Your only red card is that?
Only red card. And I've told
hatchet
you before,
man.
It was
it was for a handball.
A VAR was about in those days. It would have been rescinded.
One handball.
I told you the ball was bouncing back to the goalie. I jump up and head it back. The linesman flags saying I punched it back. Ref.
Straight red.
Straight red. Because
to deny the goal scoring opportunity.
Yeah. So that's why I don't fancy Dundee. So good on Thistle.
Remember the free kick he scored in the derby where it bounced four times before it went in? I've never seen a player top a football before. I've seen it in the golf course. He topped the football.
He's got that technique because he's scored some bad goals.
No. But this is the thing. Don't even put it in the same category as Papach, because at least that's on the volley. So you should be physically able to kick it down into the ground. But how do you kick a ball into the ground that's already on the ground?
But you don't. What was the free kick with Dumbarton or something against Dumbarton?
No, the Dumbarton goal against Rangers was a screamer.
About putting the ball in the net. Now, I'd done my homework and I knew the Dundee goalie would have been bamboozled by...
He was certainly bamboozled.
Here, John Rankin, his squiggler, remember, against Arthur Bott. Well, this was a different sort
That's right, too much was made of that, eh? In terms of the technique.
I mean,
no offence, we won't be listening.
He says he practised it,
still a goalkeeping mistake.
Was that your only red card? I was playing that game and I looked at Rank shooting. I thought, I'll happily let him shoot for there. And I turned in and seen Arthur just diving the other way.
Hey, Beefcake, was that your only red card?
You're talking to me. May I guide the day, Gordon, you can tell that story.
You'll love this. You will absolutely love this. People are going to think I'm on some sort of mission to just name all these local businesses. I'm not. It just so happens it's been that type of chaotic.
I'm going to give this guy a shout out for what's coming
next.
It's
been some sort of chaotic morning, right? So I came here nice and early. And I thought, I need to get some work done on my car or some the wheels. I'll stick it Kilbowie tyres round the road in the business park. I'll go a run, keep myself fit. We run up along the canal, I'll come back, pick up my car. It's a bit of a delay in getting it back. So I went to get my lunch, got Mark Wilson to pick me up, and I said, go and take me back round to check the car. Now the guy for the tyre place comes out, right? Now he's no friend of Mark's. I don't think they know each other. I mean, they've met maybe once or twice. Mark got his window down. The guy out of nowhere leans his head in the window and says to Mark, "You're piling on the beef."
Just Stop it up. Don't know this guy. I've seen him once. Just you're putting on weight. I said to him, just say what you think then, mate.
To be fair, he's got a point.
Hey, don't you start.
You've got a belly button the size of a dartboard.
It's something about this area, because I went to buy my wife a birthday present yesterday. It's her birthday tomorrow. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday. Isn't the present, is it? You giving her a joint shout out.
No, that would just save me buying a card. And he said, he's the guy taking the money. And he said, I know your face. He said, do you work for Clyde Bank Town Council? I said,
yes.
No. I definitely know your face. Are you the provost of Clyde Bank?
No way.
Really?
I said, no.
It's quite impressive.
You're much more important to this area than the provost of Clyde Bank. That could be the next move for you, in fact.
Yeah, local politics.
Yeah, I think so.
Vote for me.
I think you get a few votes for you. I really would. I think you're.
What, from you, Mark, me?
Yeah, but
I think I'm a bit.
Listen, have you seen what's getting elected nowadays? I could get elected.
You've got a good job.
There's the turn that you never thought Clyde One Super Scoreboard would take.
Vote for Keevan.
You've got a guy next to you who'd never even heard of Liz Truss, and you think we're going to get into some debate about the constitutional future of the country.
That's the whole point. Have you seen what's getting elected? Therefore, have you had a look at the electorate?
Let's leave it there. Celtic 2, Dundee United 1. I was going to say approaching half time. I doubt we actually are when you look at all the time that's going to be added on.
We're midway through the first half now.
And a good game, I have to say, in the Highlands as well. Are we still level? Ross County, St Mirren. Yep, no ruled out goals of VAR that have caught me out. Partick Thistle 2, Dundee 0, Ayr United 1, Morton 1. They're our featured championship matches.
Do you think Ange might crack after this game on the subject of VAR? Three penalties against his team in 4 days and the handball rules going off the wall. I wonder if Ange will have an Ange moment?
I would think
if he's ever going to do that, which I don't think he would, it would have to come after
a defeat.
I don't think he'll ever get embroiled in everything's going rosy. And even at that, I still don't think he would, because he's made such a point about it. Don't ask me about it, and I don't mind.
I take you back to the Michael Smith penalty that never was at Tynecastle. Mm. The moment that Ange was animated for the first time since he got here, laughing and applauding, and you know, clearly he's not happy with all this. He called it theatre. Remember, he said it's the theatre that surrounds VAR. Well, the theatre surrounding VAR is now a panto.
Yeah,
but what helps with you're leading, you're winning the game. That helps not to get involved.
It's just it's an evil combination, VAR and handball, because they're going. You know, it's working in conjunction. Even this season alone, we don't agree on much. But I think, remember, even in European qualifiers, was it Conor Goldson? Was there a handball against Conor Goldson in European qualifiers? Remember, and everybody said it was ludicrous. It sort of bounced off James Sands from a couple of yards away. The footballing world has got itself in a proper muddle when it comes to handball.
Should I, Fab, then clear that up, or?
Well, this is the thing. Every time they add a new line to the rule, this is them trying to clear it up,
I suppose, or simplify it, maybe, because
they claim that that's what they're doing.
Yeah.
I don't know if this is some sort of victory for producer Callum. He's just pointed out that it was 4-0 at half time in the 9-0 game.
Well, this is certainly
better. I don't
know
what he means by that. Is that what you mean? You nod if you think this is encouraging. Yeah, he's happy. He's happier now.
He's happy with a 2-1.
Yeah. Well,
you would be.
That's how arithmetic works. It's better than 4-0, I suppose.
You would be.
If VAR dreams up an equaliser, then producer Callum is spot on.
Oh, he's just seen his celebrations in there when the penalty went in the back of the net, honestly.
Giving it he was celebrating earlier on about his performance and his football today as well. Before you came in, he was saying that he controlled the left side, he's pulling strings.
He's one of these guys you look at and you just know he cannot play.
100%. People probably said that about you, to be fair, and you actually earned a living from it.
He does.
You see, of course, though. 5 minutes added at Celtic Park. Five minutes.
I knew you were going to hammer him there.
Oh, big lurch.
This was the week. This was the week, of course. Usually on a Saturday when we reflect on some of the week's biggest stories, this was the week when you and, was it Andy from West Lothian? Was that the caller's name?
Yeah.
Clashed. Have we got a clip, producer Callum?
Why do you always have to come back to me?
To relive it.
It's justified. It was brilliant. See, when you've had a long show and you're getting into the final 15 minutes.
I mean, what was that, like quarter to 11 at night?
It was quarter to 11.
And he's sitting there screaming at you, calling you.
I couldn't sleep when I went home.
While we're in the 5 week break for the World Cup, we should get Andy, who screamed at Gordon, and last night's caller, Tam, who was on about Celtic were unlucky not to get 13 points in their Champions League group. We should get the two of them on for a debate.
2 minutes added in Dingwall, 5 minutes at Celtic Park, so we will start going round the grounds for the halftime kickoffs. And I'll give you a bit longer on the teaser since I started it late. We'll do the answers during the halftime break. Reminders of it, Hugh.
Name the last six Spaniards who scored a league goal for Celtic or Rangers and also played at least 10 league games for either club.
Most of you are getting to grips with at least a few of the answers. There's a few that are catching you out. Remember, we said no Ortiz, no David Fernandez. But other than that, it will be quite. You're getting pretty close, I must admit. Lots of people going for David Fernandez on those Star Bar Gaming. Another one who's done it. I think that looks like a decent enough list there from Kenny. Yeah, I think most of you getting to grips with it. But get your answers in. There's still time to show that you can get it all correct. And we will do the answers and the winners during that halftime interval.
I think we've come up with one short. Five. I think we've got five, yeah, but we're struggling for the last one. We've made a valiant effort.
I'm quite happy with that, Mark.
What, the one you added?
Yeah, well, I added two.
Yeah, one was wrong.
No, the one
because he's American.
That one there. The wee Spaniard.
Half time at David Friel's match, Partick Thistle Dundee, no VAR, so you're going to finish quicker. David, how's it been?
Yeah, half time Partick Thistle 2, Dundee 0, Harry Millen didn't manage that first half hat-trick. You were talking about Gordon, but his double has put Partick in control. He hadn't actually scored for Thistle before today, but he's got two goals, and Ian McCall's side are in good form so far. For the first 20 minutes, I'll be honest, I was wishing we did to the VAR here for a bit of drama. It's pretty poor stuff, but then Harry Millen took matters into his own hands on 20 minutes. Cole McKinnon found him in the angle of the box in the left back, cut inside and let fly with his right foot. It did take a slight deflection, but I'm not sure Dundee keeper Ian Waller was saving it anyway. Dundee have been pretty poor, with a couple of half chances, Paul McMillan, Jordan McGee, but nothing really to test David Mitchell, and Millen's finishing was a lot better in 36 minutes as he made it 2-0. Danny Millen, one of the smallest men in the park, somehow won a header. He headed a cross goal and Harry Millen was at back post to convert. This left their confidence again, but Dundee need a big second half to salvage something from this one. Half time, Partick 2, Dundee 0.
Late drama in the Highlands at the end of the first half.
Goal flashes with Clyde Built Home Improvements.
And it looks like Ethan Erahorn from point blank range has scored for St Mirren. We always talk about good times to score. Well, that would certainly be one. It changes the proverbial half-time team talk for both managers. And it'll be Stephen Robinson who is the happier. Ross County 1, St Mirren 2. I can see some sources giving it to Mark O'Hara. I think it was a bit of a scramble and eventually put over the line. Either way, good news for St Mirren. Half-time, I think, now, Dave Galloway.
Time and what an ending to this first half. Ross County 1, St Mirren 2, a lively start to the game. County went ahead after 10 minutes. A lovely ball in from Luturi, finished off from close range by White. That lead lasted all of 3 minutes. A wonderful free kick by Strain to equalise with at least 20 yards out when he curled the ball beautifully up and over the wall. It was a fairly even encounter. Then the host stepped things up from a corner. Watson helped the ball onto White, whose effort was cleared behind, and Danda set up White on the edge of the box, but he scooped his shot over the bar. The home side seeing a lot more of the ball, around about 70% possession, but then right at the death of the first half, as we were in injury time, a bit of a bizarre scrambled goal by St Mirren, but they all count. It was a looping header by O'Hara. It came off the post. It may have been going over anyway, but Erahorn was on hand from almost on the line to just stab the ball in over the line from very, very close range to send the small band of St Mirren fans over on the far side into raptures. A very decent first half. Ross County 1, St Mirren 2.
Still waiting at Celtic Park. I think we've got a bit more of a wait before the half-time whistle will go there. Have we been to Ayr United? We've not, Roger Hanna.
Well, it's Ayr United 1, Morton 1 at the break, Gordon. There's not much between these sides in the Championship table, and there's not much between them at all in this first half. Ayr had a perfect start. They took the lead in 3 minutes. Alec Kirk, the big centre-half on loan from Arsenal, headed home from all of a yard out after Brian Schwake had made a really good save from a Dipo Akinyemi header from a free kick on the left. Akinyemi, the top scorer in the Championship, left scandalously unmarked by the Morton back four at the time. Ayr defender Sean McGinty booked for taking down Robbie Muirhead as Morton tried to push for an equaliser, and they got that equaliser on 16 minutes. Robbie Crawford, once again, swung a corner from the left deep to the back post, and there was Jai Kitongo rising higher than any of the Ayr defence to head into the net for 1-1. Ayr had a penalty claim turned down after 27 minutes. Akinyemi got the wrong side of centre-half Jack Baird. He looked to be pulled down just inside the box, but referee Ewan Anderson waving play on. Half chances at either end after that, but it's all to play for in the second half at Somerset Park. Half time, Ayr United 1, Morton 1.
And it's half time at Celtic Park. Let's speak to Fraser Wishart and Andrew McLean.
Celtic 2, Dundee United 1, the half time score. The hosts are ahead through Sead Haksabanovic's double, despite being fed back by a VAR awarded penalty. It was a quick start for the home side. Jota looking lively. He hit a shot wide from an angle. He also had another that went over the bar before he set up the opener. Just 6 minutes in, he played a ball across the face of goal, and there was Sead Haksabanovic who had the easy task of tapping in for 1-0. Then it was time for VAR to get involved. Stephen Fletcher's header hit the arm of Alexandro Bernabe. Referee David Dickinson was told to go to the screen, and then he pointed to the spot. Fletcher stepped up to take and put it straight down the middle and past Joe Hart for the equaliser. A few minutes minutes later, Mark Berigetti made a good save to deny Georgios Giakoumakis' header. Then another VAR check. This time, Craig Sibbald with a high boot. He caught Giakoumakis in the stomach area, but David Dickinson wasn't instructed to go to the screen this time, and play restarted. Celtic then retook the lead 35 minutes in. Sead Taksabanovic with a shot from an angle. It squirmed under Mark Berigetti, who really should have done better. Then it hit the post and rolled over the line for his second of the match and for 2-1. David Turnbull also had a sight of goal right before the whistle, but that one was blocked. So the half-time score here at Celtic Park is Celtic 2, Dundee United 1. And Fraser Wisher, it's been a stop-start game because of VAR. There was an injury stoppage for Mark Berigetti as well. So Celtic haven't really managed to get a proper rhythm going because of that, but still find themselves ahead.
No, I think their first bar check really kind of killed the game a wee bit for Celtic, killed the momentum. They were just getting into their stride. They scored the opening goal, and you're thinking, oh, here we go for Dundee United again. But, you know, I think you're probably one of the few people actually said, was that handball? It was hardly a claim from any Dundee United players. And but that's what you're going to get from VAR. It's going to change the game dramatically. And Celtic just didn't get into the rhythm. I think you look at the stats, they've had six or seven shots on target, at goal, not even on target. And that's probably the fewest that they will have had in a long time under Ange Postecoglou, which just shows Bern Pepin the goal. You give United credit, they've played with five at the back and four in midfield, Fletcher dropping deep, so they made it difficult for Celtic, but they just really haven't quite got into their rhythm so far. But they've been comfortable with Celtic, plenty of possession, and you can only see them go on scoring one or two more, at least in the second half.
Yep, we'll do the half-time scores then, a full round-up of them next.
The fastest goals, the expert opinions. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Half time in the Scottish Premiership, Celtic 2, Dundee United 1, Ross County 1, St Mirren 2. In the Championship, Ayr United 1, Morton 1, Inverness 0, Arbroath 0, Partick Thistle 2, Dundee 0, and the Raith Rovers 1, Hamilton Accies 1. In League 1, it's Clyde 0, Airdrie 0, FC Edinburgh 0, Queen of the South 1, Falkirk 0, Dunfermline 0, and Kelty 0, Alloa 1, Montrose 0, Peterhead 0. In League 2, Albion Rovers 1, Stirling Albion 0, Bonnyrigg Rovers 0, Elgin City 3, Dumbarton 1, Stranraer 0, Forfar 0, Annan 2, and Stenhouse Muir 1, East Fife 0. The second halves are coming up very soon. A reminder, Hugh, of your question, please, and I'll give you the winners and the answers. Take it away.
Name the last six Spaniards who've scored a league goal for Celtic or Rangers and also played at least 10 league games for either club. They are Nacho Novo, Fran Sandaza, Mikel Arteta, Carlos Cuela, Marc Crosas, and John Turrell.
Well done if you got them all. RJ Demon was in third place, Jay McCormick second, and Sideshow Bob was the winner. The second halves are next.